Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I gotta tell you, I'm still stuck on the, you know, screaming and hollering and complaining and whining about gas prices, and then have Congress, well, to have the Republicans in Congress do nothing. You know, it's one thing to have your cute little stickers, oh, Joe Biden did this. It's one thing to hold your press conferences and say the Democrats caused the inflation, but to actually do nothing. That's the part I'm struck with. And the last couple of days have shown us that Republicans are void of ideas, are void of policy initiatives that are going to make workers' lives better. And look, very clear, they're not going to. And what we do know of their policy aims, the Rick Scott plan, now remember, Rick Scott came on the scene with pictures of baby formula on shelves around the world, without a piece of legislation to get them on our shelves. That should tell you all you need to know. We need people who are going to be fighting for working class folks here in our backyard. That's why I'm happy to have Ashley Ehaz to come talk with us. She's a combat veteran, former Apache helicopter pilot, and Democratic nominee for U.S. Congress in the 1st Congressional District in my state of Pennsylvania. Her website, ehazforcongress.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. Ashley, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much for having me on tonight with you. This is an incredible privilege, and I am so grateful to be the nominee here in Pennsylvania's 1st District for the Democratic Party.
Well, congratulations. You got your work ahead of you, but this is where the work should be. You know, I say the Democrats have got to be the party of the working class. You got to be the party of making lives better. And it should start with gas prices. It should start with formula gate. You look at our Republican friends, and boy, the performances have been great. Oscar award-winning stuff on fake news. Boy, they can get in front of a microphone and they can bring the outrage. But where's the policy? Where's the initiative to actually do something?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And the Republican Party at large, especially the last few years, has been very good at blocking any initiatives that would help working class families. And here in Pennsylvania's 1st District, that is what we have, working class families. And my Republican opponent, Brian Fitzpatrick, likes to pretend that we don't. And in the last 24 hours, he has taken some astonishing votes, most astonishingly, as you just mentioned, he voted against preventing oil and gas companies from gouging prices at the pump. So when we look at the issues that families are facing financially, we look to our leaders to make the right decisions. And Brian Fitzpatrick proves time and time again that he is out of touch with his district, and he will side with his partisan issues and partisan party over families.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want people who are going to stand up for working people. The wealth class has enough lobbyists. They've got enough money. They got enough power to be taken care of. It's those people who are going to stand up to make sure that working families who are struggling in this moment get the support and the help that they need to make it through the next day, the next week, to make sure that their kids get the education that they need, the health care that they need. We can have policy fights and arguments, but at the end of the day, it's got to be, you know, how are we going to push initiatives? And yet I look at someone like Fitzpatrick, who's been pushed to me as a, you know, a solid labor guy, a good one, a good Republican, which at this point I'm not seeing, because the votes are what matter to me. He seems like a nice guy. I've met him a couple of times, but the votes are what matter to me.
Right. And that is exactly... that's exactly what we need to examine when we look at Brian Fitzpatrick's record. As you mentioned at the top of the intro, I'm a combat veteran. I served nearly 13 years in the military, and I was an attack helicopter pilot. And when I was overseas, getting into the cockpit of that aircraft, I didn't think a lot about the types of Americans that I was defending, whether they were Democrat, Republican. I was thinking of Americans. And that is exactly how I feel when I look at the way we need to hold our leaders accountable who are now in elected positions. And Brian Fitzpatrick votes only how the Republicans want him to vote. He does not vote for all Americans. He does not vote for all family members in our district, all the voters in our district. He does not represent every single person that's here. He votes how he needs to in order to line his pockets with money or appease McCarthy and hold whatever position he might have in the party. And that's it. He is leaving many, many members of our community behind and is happily doing so. And so fundamentally, he is out of touch with this district as we move forward. And that's why it's time for change here. As a young woman who has served her country, I have real skin in the game here. I have nearly $70,000 in student loan debt. I just bought my first home, but only because of the VA loan. So I understand how hard it is to get established right now. We have so many people here who are just trying to live paycheck to paycheck in PA1, and they are struggling, and Brian Fitzpatrick is leaving them behind, which is exactly why I am running for office, to get next generation leadership in the seat who will vote with conscience and courage when it comes to representing this community.
Let's talk about that for a second. Student loan debt. I hear that from young people, you know, all the time. You know, I've got a young relative who's $100,000 in debt. I have no idea how she's going to be able to pay that back, especially when you look at some of the terms, 9% interest on one, 11% on another. It's crazy. And yet you look at the Republicans in Senate, that they've moved a piece of legislation called, and I love this, the Student Loan Accountability Act, which the Accountability Act is to make sure that Biden and Democrats can do nothing to help ease that burden on a generation who has been screwed over by a system that, you know, a lot of these people helped create. That, you know, your generation has been saddled with a true problem for the working class. They've basically come out and said, we're doing nothing. You're screwed. What's the way forward in this? What do you do to move this forward in a way that you think is fair?
Great question. And I always start the answer to this question by acknowledging that student loan debt doesn't just affect people in my generation or those younger than me. As I have talked with voters in this community, it's an issue that affects all generations, because there are some older than me who either still have loans or co-signed a loan for their grandkids. And so this is a systemic issue that affects all families. And as we look forward, fundamentally, the system needs to be fixed. I think right now, aside from the 0% interest as loans are delayed, you can get a student loan, you can get a home for lower interest rates than you can a student loan. That right there tells me the system is broken, and the federal government can control that for federally backed loans. And then we also need to look at the costs of institutions. We need to provide real incentives for schools to lower their costs, because right now you have young people taking out massive student loans at an age where they're probably not really sure what they're going to get for it. And that is a tremendous burden that follows them for the rest of their lives. Yeah. And I think we also need to take advantage of the incredible institutions we have here in Pennsylvania, not only four-year traditional institutions, but also trade and technical schools, and make sure we provide good pathways and good incentives for students to go to those other schools. So that way we can build out our economy and create a really diverse group of great workers, especially when we look to making sure our unions are taken care of.
Yeah, and promote union apprenticeship programs and bring, you know, trades back into the schools. There's so much we can be doing. My idea in the beginning of this, right from the start when we were talking about this, is I think the federal government should be buying up all the student loans and administering these at a low interest rate so people pay back what they borrowed. So there's a sense of fairness. If you borrowed $50,000, you pay $50,000 back, with maybe at a 0.5% interest or whatever the administration cost would be, so that there is a sense of you borrowed it, you paid it back. But this idea that you're paying 9, 10, 11%, and then all the penalties and all the fees and all the craziness they throw on top of it, just so that the Education Incorporated can make more money off the backs of people who just wanted to maybe have a shot at living a middle-class lifestyle, is patently unfair. So something has to be done. At least that's my thought. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with Ashley Ehas. She is running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District. Her website, ehasforcongress.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can check that out. So let's move into a couple of different areas, because again, you know, I'm a union guy. I'm a firm believer in people's rights to join and form unions, collectively bargain for better wages, hours, conditions. As we've been watching Amazon, we've been watching Starbucks, Apple now, there's a bunch of organizing going on, but it's too much. It's too difficult. The pendulum has swung way too far to the side of employers. Is there something that you view as a congressperson that you could do that would maybe help? Are you a supporter of the PRO Act? What are your thoughts?
Yes, I think when we look at working class families, especially union members, getting established here and having incredible pathways forward, I think we need to look at the family holistically as well and create incentives for unions to have the power versus corporations. But when I talk the power imbalance between corporations and unions, I also always want to bring unions back to the families that make them up. And when I look at Pennsylvania's first district, we have some of the highest cost of living across the Commonwealth, and that's with Brian Fitzpatrick in this seat. So he has not done anything to lower the cost of living when it comes to these families. So when we're looking at making sure unions have the power to negotiate on behalf of workers, whether it's for healthcare, safety in the workplace, we also need to make sure families are well taken care of even outside the workplace, so that way they can focus all their energy to organizing and working together to actually advocate for better benefits. So when I say all that, we look at things like paid family leave. Brian Fitzpatrick voted against that. So having that codified at the federal level would absolutely help those who are bargaining for better conditions at work. When we look at reducing the cost of healthcare, if that is done so at the federal level, that gives so much more strength and power to those who are bargaining through the unions for better conditions at work. So when I look at the way we take care of our unions, I also look at the way we holistically take care of families, because those are one and the same to me.
Now as a young woman, and look, me as an old white guy who has, you know, two daughters, the abortion issue is front and center, especially after we've seen the leaked memo from our Supreme Court. This clearly has to be an issue that's important to you. I'm curious how you see things legislatively and how you see things, you know, in society going forward.
Thank you for asking that question. And I actually want to link it back to the one that you asked before, which is how do we give the balance to working class families versus these large corporations? And when we look at the devastating impact that if Roe is overturned this summer, as that draft intends, it will devastate 50% of the population with those who can bear children, but also their families. And if that is overturned, it not only undoes the sanctity of the conversation between a woman and her doctor, but it also completely upends their ability to family plan. Or if a woman is looking to get back into the workplace, she may not be able to now if Roe is overturned. So we need to look at the economic implications of this overturn as well. In my district, the largest demographic that lives at or below the poverty line are women aged 25 to 34. So when we look at the impact on the economy, the impact on just their ability to provide for their families that they statistically probably already have, if their right to choose is gone, We devastate that. We devastate the ability for women to participate in the economy and society. So all of these issues touch each other. And something that is also deeply concerning with the draft as it was written is there is a framework built there that wants to undo nearly 70 years of civil rights legislation in this country. So they will not stop with just Roe. They will go after contraceptives next. The ability to have marriage between gay couples. These are things that make America amazing. And they want to undo the basic frameworks of all the progress we've made in the last 70 years.
Yeah, as I say, they want to undo the 20th century and return us to the good old days of the 80s and 90s and not the 1980s and 90s. So last question I've got for you, if you're making that elevator pitch, why Ashley Ehas? Why you? Why now?
Thank you. So we need change in Pennsylvania's first, full stop. Brian Fitzpatrick is out of touch and out of line with this district. He will not vote with confidence or with any courage for this community. And we need someone who is a public servant and not a politician and someone with skin in the game. I will keep saying it. There are so many issues on the table, many of which we discussed tonight, that I either am experiencing now as a 33-year-old woman who has served this country, or someone in my family has, or I know someone in this community who are dealing with things that the current elected official is not solving for them. So I am here to bring very real change to this community and make sure our basic rights like voting rights, reproductive rights are taken care of. I will protect our democracy and I will make sure that working class families here in the community can afford homes, health care, and be able to just take care of their families. And that's incredibly important.
How can people help? Other than go to the website ehasforcongress.com, how can people help the campaign? How can people help you out across the country?
Thank you so much for that. So we are currently building a massive coalition here in southeastern Pennsylvania, and I'm so proud of the grassroots organization that we have in the community. So please go to my website. You can sign up to volunteer. We are knocking doors every weekend. We're getting people out there with literature. We're going to events and just really talking about the issues with voters. And that is a really great way to get engaged. And even if you don't live here in the community, you can follow me on social media, help spread the message and get that out even beyond southeastern Pennsylvania.
Good stuff. Ashley, I wish you the best. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thank you so much. This was lovely. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Good stuff. Again, if you want to check out the website, ehasforcongress.com, we'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. I highly suggest it. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, I like her. She seems great. Again, the website, ehasforcongress.com, if you want to check out her website and the platform. I like the idea, that the whole wraparound, helping workers, do better in the workplace, but also the community stuff. I think it's really important. I got an email from Randy, who says, I think your news coverage of baby formula shortage may have missed an important point. For the past few decades, Congress has approved of the so-called urge to merge approach for corporations to point where the big corporations gobble up the smaller corporations until there are only three or four huge corporations producing a single product. So when one of those corporations is disabled for some reason, there is only 3/4 of the supply left. No, Randy, I think I've been talking about that quite extensively. I think consolidation has been something of a, I may be mistaken, but I think that's been my point from the very beginning. Mass consolidation has been our problem in all of our inflation problems at this moment. The monopolies that we've allowed to spring up, in our food supply, in transportation, in a lot of areas. The big A company, I think that's a big part of it as well, that we're allowing these companies to get so large that they're almost, they're almost ungovernable. And it's how they like it. They like the power and control that that size gives them, because they can, well, they can run roughshod over government, because they know government is the only way that they can be held accountable. And this is why Republicans have done their foolhardy best to destroy the only body that can hold corporate America accountable. That's part of that's the beauty of what they've done. That's the mastery of government's the problem, not the solution. Because then the solution has to be corporate America. Now, they want you to believe that you're the answer. And this is where I get into this, it's a philosophical argument. Look, I'm fearful of government as much as anyone, but I believe in government of, for, and by we the people over corporations of the board of directors. That's the simple reality. For a lot of the big decisions, we don't get input. And that's one of these reality moments that we have to come around to. I want representatives to have to come to me every 2, 4, 6 years and make their case of why we should continue to support them, why they should be the ones that we vote for. You don't get that in corporate America. You don't get the CEO going, hey, vote for us because we've done this to make your life better. No, they don't do that. It's an incestuous pool of robber barons and oligarchs. For instance, I had a listener, today, email me and going, hey, did you see Elon Musk's going to vote for Republicans now? What do you think of that? Can you comment on that? And I'm going, yeah, I'll comment on it, but I'll comment it on Twitter, because it would be an expletive-laden comment here that the FCC would not like. The fact that we look to robber barons, our modern day robber barons, for whatever the blank that they think, I don't care what Elon Musk thinks. Elon Musk is part of the problem. Bezos is part of the problem. They are the smart people. Oh, they're smart people. They've made themselves very wealthy. They've manipulated a system that where they've benefited. But Rick, they've created jobs. Yeah, they've figured out how to make $10 off of paying you $4. That's pretty smart. I give them credit for being able to do that. But am I going to look to them to solve society's problems when I know that their intention is to make themselves wealthier at my expense and yours? No, of course not. Now, do they have some good ideas? Sometimes, sure. Are those ideas to benefit the greater good? I'm a little questioning of that. This whole space exploration thing, let's see whose phallic rocket can get to space first. I think it's a little bit of phallic waving, but I also think it's who can get to the asteroids to get the minerals first. Who can figure out how to get transit back and forth to be the first trillionaire? But we can't talk about that because they're benevolent. There are benevolent dictators. But remember, a benevolent dictator is still a dictator. You still don't get a voice. A benevolent fascist is still a fascist. And we better wake up to that. Our government, ours, still in this moment, while we still have the ability to vote, is still supposed to be responsive to us. The problem is there's a political party who believes that it doesn't matter, because their base is so, so addicted to the outrage candy. All they got to do is just throw it out there, baby formula, and they lose their minds. No solutions, no ideas how to fix the problem, just point. And there's instant outrage, instant anger. You can't even point out the fact that Randy's right. Mass consolidation has done this. The big fish has been allowed to eat all of the little fishes until what? We're dependent on the big fish and their benevolence. That's the problem. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any of today's program or any of our shows, make sure you download the podcast, subscribe, never miss a moment. Make sure it's always there. Make sure you leave a comment. Love to hear that. Also, 5-star rating wouldn't be bad. I like that as well. Share it with your friends. Again, if you've got thoughts, questions, comments, I'd love to hear it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I do prefer the angry ones. Those go to the top. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it's only been a couple of days since Madison Cawthorn found out he's going to be out of a job, and he's already lost his mind completely. Look, I'm worried about this kid. Honestly, all partisanship aside, I think he's losing his flipping mind. And I said originally, think he needs an intervention. Think an intervention most certainly needs to happen now, because he went on Instagram. And, look, you're going to have a little complaining, a little whining. You know, the establishment turned their guns on me. The Uniparty's out to defeat America. You know, the kind of nonsense rhetoric. But then he goes, interesting kind of a little turn. He says that he's now on a mission. He's on a mission to expose those who say one thing and yet legislate and work towards another self-profiting globalist goal. This is different. This is now a little different. He says the time for genteel politics, as usual, has come to an end. It's time for the rise of a new right. It's time, here it comes, for dark MAGA. Time for dark MAGA. Dark MAGA must now take command. We have an enemy to defeat, but we'll never truly be able to defeat them until we defeat the cowardly and weak members of our own party. Their days are numbered. We are coming. Who's we? You got trounced. Everybody kind of said, dummy, you did dumb stuff. Grow the blankety blank up. Again, people around him, intervention time. And look, Madison, it's okay. You can come out, do whatever you got to do. Get some help. There are people here for you. If you need help, I'm here for you. This kind of crazy. But this is where, is dark MAGA a thing? Yeah, maybe so. I'm here to share some thoughts on maybe where things are going. I've asked our good friend Tim Hogan to come share some thoughts on Tuesday's primary and, well, what's coming. Tim is the executive editor over at Heartland Signal, heartlandsignal.com, the website. They are our radio partners over at WCPT AM 820 in Chicago. Tim, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to be here.
So dark MAGA is coming. Be prepared.
I have no idea what that is. And, that is quite a, fiery list of commands, future commands for the movement to give after you are an incumbent and you lose your own party's primary. So I don't know how you can talk from such a position of strength. But, Adam Kinzinger said today that it's probably better for the GOP themselves. That Madison Cawthorn lost that race.
Yeah, now, honestly, I wanted him to stay. I thought he was a good sideshow. I thought he was somebody that, was the guy who wasn't smart enough not to say the quiet things. Silently, he was the guy who was shouting them out loud. Dumb stuff like this, because I do believe there's a part of the MAGA movement that wants civil war. They want to be able to come out and be completely outwardly screaming racist, homophobic, misogynistic nonsense at the top of their lungs in the middle of the street and doing it, on social media and everywhere they can and being very proud of it.
Well, I think what the warning from Madison Cawthorn is, if you are Lauren Boebert or a Marjorie Taylor Greene, what is the point at which the establishment GOP says, we've had enough, or some operation is going to go into effect where we learn things, there's videos that come out before a primary. I don't know if Madison Cawthorn is a unique example here. It's hard to say, Marjorie Taylor Greene hasn't gone far enough, but if she goes a little further, we're really going to hold her accountable in our part. I don't know what that would look like. I think she's crossed every line. But I think there is an aspect of this that should, you know, be a little fearful for those more fringy members of the Republican Party.
Yeah, but, you know, this frame of dark MAGA, I was thinking about this, you know, I've been sitting here going, how much darker can it get? I mean, how much, you know, how much worse can this get? I mean, you've got Ron Johnson, and you've, look, this week, the great replacement theory with the shooting, and, you know, this is not new. You've got the right, you know, in fact, you know, today I was talking with my son. His teacher gave him a deck of playing cards from 2005 that had a whole bunch of political people on them. And it's a great set of cards of all of the politicians from back then with little cute little slogans and caricature drawings. It's fabulous. But we came to Pat Buchanan, and I go, you know, Pat Buchanan was kind of the guy that led the Republican Party down this path, because the joke back in 92 was his speeches were better in the original German. This was kind of the, you know, the Nazi wing of the GOP, you know, coming out, little dog whistle, little, you know, fringy kind of, you know, so they could put them down. But it was kind of the beginning of making it okay. Now it's bullhorn, not even dog whistle. They want to be in the middle of the street with PA systems screaming at the top of their lungs.
Well, and it's, you know, for Ron Johnson, he was chased by an AP reporter, asked about some of the language that he's used previously and how it is, you know, subtler version of a great replacement theory type language. And he said, I have no idea what that is. I don't even know what you're talking about. There's an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. They had the Anti-Defamation League comb through some of the clips where Senator Johnson is giving voice to this type of thought process, which is essentially Democrats run a country with open borders in order to allow immigrants in to replace the white population. And that is how we're going to lose our electoral power. That's, you know, the version of how Ron Johnson talks about it. And, you know, they said it's a subtle version of that. It is a subtle version of the great replacement theory. And, you know, we did some digging on our own, and it's not like there's a shortage of clips of Ron Johnson talking about this. I mean, it took us maybe 10 minutes to find one from August of this year of him talking to Wendy Bell saying, you know, well, what else could it be that there's this open border policy? I mean, of course, it is just the Democrats wanting to hold on to their electoral power. I do think it is, you know, for everyone who the Republican side wants to talk about open borders, I do think there's a good standing challenge, which is you should take all of your identifying documents, bring them with you, cross the border to Mexico, and then while you're there, just light them all on fire and see if you can get back into the country, because theoretically there's an open border. It shouldn't be a problem. I you know, don't think they'd be able to do it. But yeah, that type of language coming from Ron Johnson for a very long time.
Yeah, and clearly, you know, when that theory, you know, plays out, and I was talking to a guy yesterday who said, you know, clearly Republicans don't quite understand how Florida is a Republican state because of Cuba. I mean, all of the immigrants that came from Cuba are reliable Republican votes. If you have ideas, if you have things that voters want to vote for, they tend to vote for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, you could get back to talking about actual policy, but the problem for Ron Johnson there is he's reprehensible on every front there, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Tim Hogan. Tim is the executive editor over at Heartland Signal, heartlandsignal.com, their website. Make sure you check that out. They are our radio partners over at WCPT AM 820 in Chicago. Make sure you're tuning in there. And for our listeners there, thanks so much. If you miss any of our program, make sure you grab the podcast. Always there, always available. So let's talk dark MAGA a little bit as well, because Pennsylvania, my state, potentially could have a Nazi as governor. I don't know how else to put this. You know, I've been calling him Benito Mastriano for a very long time, because I see the Senator Doug Mastriano as someone who is extremely dangerous. One of the guys who led bus trips down to the January 6th insurrection. Someone who went down with the stated explicit goal to stop the certification of the election. This guy to me is dangerous and has come out and said he's not moving to the center. He's sticking straight to the dark MAGA path. This is dangerous stuff to me. I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, really, really dangerous. And, you know, don't need to be told, but this happening in states that are swing states for 2024 is also extremely dangerous. You know, what happens if he finds a way to not certify election results? You know, about 80 days ago, we started hearing him say, I've already picked my Secretary of State. I know who it's going to be. It's someone who's traveling the country, learning about voting procedures. They're one of the best. He hasn't told voters who it is. And you know, he hasn't really been pressed to explain
who that is.
That person's going to be in charge of the election. You know, so it's appointed by the governor in your state. And, you know, it's shocking.
Yeah, we might not get the vote, but we might all get pillows.
are you alluding to the fact that it's Mike Lindell? I mean, like, if it's Mike Lindell, I don't know, man. That's that's a whole new level of wild.
Because that's where my mind goes. That's how far down the fascist road I think this guy is willing to take us. So I'm putting that out there. I believe if he wins, Mike Lindell will be Secretary of State.
Wow. Okay. On the record here first. I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about that now until he tells us.
No, but this is, again, you know, look, I don't use that F word lightly. You know, look, this is the melding of government and corporate interests. This is an authoritarian type person, you know, someone who wouldn't mind using military force against citizens. This is much more than just the kind of, you know, inflammatory word that gets people's attention. No, I mean, really functionally, this is who I believe this guy is and the policies that he will bring. He will make, you know, reproductive rights non-existent in this state. We know abortion bans, the one passed in Oklahoma here recent today, that will be, you know, teenage boys, get ready. Mastriano's coming for you. Because if now a fertilized egg is, well, if that's now to be protected, you know, Monty Python's Every Sperm is Sacred is coming for you next. Yeah. I mean, this is how far down the rabbit hole I believe this guy will take us.
Well, and it's, you know, there were, you know, Josh Shapiro, who Attorney General Josh Shapiro, who won on the Democratic side, is now the Democratic nominee. You know, this is the opponent that he wanted to draw. They were basically running ads that were subtly saying, you know, this is the Trump guy who's in the gubernatorial race on the GOP side. You know, and that's always a bet that you're like, you're kind of hedging because that might be the opponent that you can beat. But that is also the opponent that you must beat, right? The stakes are even higher to keep someone like Doug Mastriano out of power.
No, and I like Josh, and, you know, spent a little time with him on Monday. Fortunately, I did not get his COVID, so I was very happy about that.
Good.
Went and took the test yesterday. Very happy I did not get his COVID. So thanks for that. But I will vote for him because I think he's been a great attorney general. He has been out there fighting for workers' rights. In fact, took on one of the biggest construction companies in the country to fight against misclassification and wage theft. For me, that is a huge feather in his cap that every worker should know about in this state. Now let's move over to the senatorial side here in Pennsylvania. John Fetterman took the Democratic side handily. And look, I think everyone knew that was coming. I'm a believer in you stand on solid working class values. You don't shy away from it. You know, you stand for something. And not that Connor Lamb didn't, but I saw Connor Lamb as more middle of the road kind of centrist Democrat that I think Democratic voters are tired of. I saw John Fetterman as someone who's going to fight for something, someone who, you know, if there's a fight that breaks out, might be a guy who's going to ball up his digits and get in the mix with you, not offer to hold your coat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was surprising, I think, in the sense that it was uneventful, if that's a thing that can be true, that we saw this for weeks now that Fetterman had been pulling away in polling that had come out. And yeah, I think there is something about him. You know, my dad texted me as soon as he was elected, and my dad comes from a small rural town in northern Minnesota, 500 people. And he said, just donated to the Fetterman's campaign. He has to win. I think he'd do well in Bowabic, Minnesota, the town of 500 up there. And I think that's true. And I think someone like him being able to connect with voters in rural areas and people to sort of see him as an authentic, you know, politician, it's sort of an oxymoron there. But he carries himself in a way that I think people look at him and see him as real.
No, I mean, he is. Look, I've known him for a lot of years. We've had him on the program, you know, countless numbers of times over the years, from the time when he was mayor of Braddock, one of the poorest cities in this state, you know, all the way through his run for Senate, and his run for lieutenant governor. he's an authentic, he is who you see, and I wish him the best health wise. I know he had a little heart thing. They're getting that under control. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to make a great senator. Now on the Republican side, still don't know. Is it going to be Dr. Quack? Is it going to be the businessman who's been painted as the China businessman? We'll find out. I still seem to think, had Kathy Barnett been a old white guy, bald old white guy who looked like a thumb, I think she would have ran away with it. But that's just my thoughts. I'm curious yours.
Well, I think regardless of what happens, if we don't get a follow-up press conference at Four Seasons Soda Landscaping from either Dr. Oz or David McCormick, I'm going to be really disappointed, because we're primed for it, okay? 2022, we got to do it again. But it's just razor thin, right? And I think it's a little bit of a test of the power of Trump's endorsement. I don't want to confuse that conversation. I think everybody is running as Trump, right? Like, there's, for the most part, all of these candidates, Dave McCormick, Kathy Barnett, Dr. Oz, run as Trump. And then one of them, the same as we saw at Ohio, gets the endorsement and gives them a little bit of rocket fuel in the polls. But, not sure it's going to be enough for Dr. Oz. We'll see. And we have a bunch of mail-in votes to count that have favored McCormick leading up till now. But he's holding, as of this point, around a 1,200 vote advantage. Ballots keep trickling in. McCormick is eating away at it just a little bit. But I don't know. It could flip. It could just stay very ugly. And then, of course, it's within that automatic recount of a half of a percent. So unless the loser declines and specifically says, I don't want that recount to happen, then this could be dragged out even further.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the other two to blame Tom Wolf, for the governor of Pennsylvania, for cheating. I'm waiting for it. It's all rigged. I'm waiting for the rigged. That's what I'm waiting
for.
And finally, let's go to Minnesota. What's going on with the GOP convention there?
They just picked some of their candidates. So Scott Jensen, the doctor who has been flagged for multiple COVID misinformation problems online, who once said that he was happy that Vladimir Putin and Russian television were picking up on what he was saying about COVID, got the nomination, of course. He also, and his running mate, Matt Burke, he's going to be the lieutenant governor on the GOP side on the slate. We watched some video of him at a anti-abortion event in the early 2000s, where he says, and his line hasn't really changed, that abortion is not going to help a rape victim heal, so they can't do it. They shouldn't have an abortion. And so we'll see how that plays out. But it's Minnesota. It's a gubernatorial race. It's going to be very interesting. There is an independent candidate there running with the Forward Party backing, so backing from Andrew Yang, even though that person, Corey Heppala, doesn't agree with UBI, which I'm like, did you guys appropriately vet this person before you endorsed him?
No.
So it's going to be an interesting race. And, Governor Tim Walz is doing a good job in the state. Unemployment rate there, 2.2% came out today. And they have a big $9 billion budget surplus. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in that race.
Going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But again, I'm hoping people get energized, get out to vote, and maybe we'll turn back some of the crazy, especially in my state, because Dark MAGA is here.
Dark MAGA.
Will these be brown shirts this time? Oh, no, we can't. We've already done that. Never mind. Sorry, already done that. But Tim, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff, my friend.
Thanks, Rick.
Good stuff. Tim Hogan, executive editor there at Heartland Signal. HeartlandSignal.com, their website. Check out the work that they do there. Gonna take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. If you've missed any of our program, make sure you grab the podcast. Never miss a moment. Make sure you subscribe. This way I don't have to keep reminding you. It's always going to be there. But if you need the reminder, go to your favorite podcast sites and grab it. Quick break. Right back. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. I'm thinking about the dark MAGA thing. I can't get that out of my head. You know, that's been, it's just been banging around the whole time going, is this the how they shed Trump? Because Trump, Trump's about Trump. It's not really about, you know, civil war. It's not about it's not about all the other stuff that the underground wants. You know, the world that Cawthorn, you know, has been toying with. And now that he's been shunned by the world that he wants to be in, will he go full dive into the sheets? I mean, is this the future? I mean, this is a guy who, you know, sadly, and I feel for him. On a certain level, you go, wow, this is what privilege looks like. There's some problems there. And this is my struggle with where we are as a society. That you get these people who feel entitled. He lost an election because he was a crummy congressman. He didn't do what you're supposed to do as a representative, and that is represent your district. In fact, you know, he kind of jumped back and forth going, I don't know which district I want. And then was just viewed in every light wrong. And look, it wasn't even the Democratic opponent that brought this out. It was his own party going, look, you're making us look bad. Your antics are bad for all of us. Which is why I go back to Marjorie Taylor Greene. When the Democrats decided that she shouldn't be on those committees. Because, look, what she did was reprehensible. But that's not their job. In my view, it wasn't their job to right that wrong. It was the Republicans' job to clean their own house. Like they did with Madison Cawthorn. Now, he's going to turn on them. And it's going to be interesting to watch how he turns on them. And what they do to him. And that's okay. This whole MAGA thing, this has got to go away. At some point in the near future, and look, I'm hoping these hearings that are coming up, I'm hoping the when the Democrats and on the committee and the Republicans on the committee lay out the evidence of everything that these MAGA folks did, these so-called patriots, all of these insurrectionists, all of the things that they did to overturn our elections, to usurp the power of our vote. Because remember, and this we cannot forget. That day was about, quote, stop the steal. Stop the certification of that election. However they want to frame it from now forward, it was a patriotic day of protest. It was a patriotic day of lobbying. It was a family day. It was like any other day. People were walking between the ropes. No, they were defecating on the floor. They were urinating on people's desks. They were smashing windows. They were destroying our house. They walked into your house and they took a giant dump on the floor and they rubbed it in the rug and they're telling you it's something. No, this is what we do every day. Because we love America. We love our house. And they expect all of us to buy it because they've bought it. How twisted is that? And we've got to remind, understand, these hearings are not going to be for the MAGAs. They're brainwashed. They're lost. They're the fives. We're never getting them. These hearings are going to be for the sane and the rational. The people who've going, well, you know, maybe the MAGA people are right. And when you see the evidence, remember that day. Remember the gallows. Remember the calls to hang Mike Pence. Remember police officers being stabbed with the American flag, being crushed, beaten. Remember, this is the Law and Order Party. These are the people who love the flag, salute the flag. These people marched the Confederate flag through our Capitol. Telling you, somebody somebody needs to be held accountable. And it's not just the minions and the idiots who went marching through the halls. They're the least of my concerns. It's those people who gave the tours. It's those people who planned and plotted and funded all of this stuff. It's the Benigno Mastrianos who took bus trips down. It's the people who riled and pointed and said, go. It's them. That's who we should be holding accountable. It's my representative, Scott Perry. He's another one. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you missed any of the program, grab the podcast. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.